Good morning, Dr. Rittman.
Morning. Hey, Rachel. Hi. Hey, I have the document that I usually read off of. Is there something to read other than accepting the minutes, audio minutes from the last finance committee meeting?
No, there won't be anything else. This will be fine, just to read off of the agenda.
Okay. Read off the agenda, and let's see. And are we accepting?
I'm sorry, what?
Do we have to accept the audio minutes from?
From the December meeting, so the December 10th.
Okay, we can remember that. All right, it's 10:01. Are you guys ready to get started? Do
we have We are good. We have quorum. We are ready to go.
Great. All right. Good morning, everyone. It is 10:01 on Thursday, March 25th. The Finance Committee of the Arizona State Board for Private Postsecondary Education is hereby called to order. Ms. Kears, can you please call?
Of course. And let's start with our board members. Mr. Scott Wallace, are you in attendance?
I am. I'm here.
Thank you. Mr. Dick Lukey?
Here.
Dr. Paul Mittman?
Here.
Great. Mr. Kevin LaMountain?
I'm here.
Perfect. Mr. Keith Blanchard?
Here.
Ms. Mary Stanfill?
Here.
And myself, Rachel Kearse, I am in attendance. Thank you.
Great. Well, why don't we get started? As you can see, the virtual meeting etiquette here, please remain on mute till called upon, closed caption, and the meeting is being recorded. So before we get started, could we have a motion to accept the minutes from the December 10th, 2020 Finance Committee meeting? And the acceptance of the audio recording of the September Finance Committee meeting as the official meeting minutes.
So moved, Dick Lubke.
Scott Wallace will second.
Great. And Ms. Kears, please call the vote.
Dr. Paul Mittman, your vote. Mr. Scott Wallace.
Aye.
Mr. Dick Lukey?
Aye.
Guys have it. Thank you.
Okay, first up, we have discussion and action on the financial status license bills. We have two institutions. First up is Images Enterprises. And representing the institution, Jackie Fisher and Mike Berry. Do you have any
Again, we're discussion and action on the financial status, and then the program license renewal. And I believe both Jackie and Mike are on.
Okay, everyone who's not talking, which for the time being is going to be Jackie and or Mike, so please meet. Do you have an opening comments?
Okay, I'm sorry, Paul. What was that?
Do you care to make any statements?
No, I'm good. We're doing quite well, so I'm good.
Good. Duly noted. I have it in my notes. I wrote nice two times. So that's a good thing. Great. Mr. Lukey or Mr. Wallace, do you have questions for either Ms. Fisher or Mr. Barrett?
Yes, Dr. Mittman, I just a question about their cash statuses.
Can I ask where?
Dr. Mittman, I think from what I can see here is it it's either Jackie or Mike's microphone. So
okay.
Mike, if you can turn your you know, mute yourself. That one. There we go.
Is the crashing of the behind him?
Problem solved.
Right? We all wish we were on that ocean right there.
That's right.
Mr. Luke, do you want to repeat your question, and then we'll let Jackie or Mike respond?
Certainly. Well, I noticed that they've turned it around from 2019 to 2020 with looks like a little bit over $9,000 of profitability. I'm wondering, however, for this current year, what their cash position is. How are they doing that in that regard?
It's actually better. We are contracted with a couple of companies out of another state, and we are doing their third-party testing because their state is overflowed or not able to do third-party testing. So we have an ongoing steady income about that. I'll mute myself, and Mike will talk to you about that because he is my CDL and construction specialist. So I'm going to mute myself, and then Mike can unmute, and he can tell you about our contract with our other schools. It's actually four other schools in other states.
Hello. So it was basically due to the whole COVID Act, the beginning of last year, when California had shut down all their MVDs. Their schools had remained open, but they were utilizing other states such as Utah, Nevada, Arizona as well. So we just started picking up a lot of contracts with them and just being consistent, keeping, you know, structured schedules for them so that their students could make the transfer all the way down to Arizona and make the travel and know that they're going to get tested. So we just took care of them just as we do our own students, and make it, you know, the transition as seamless as possible for them. Therefore, when they did reopen, they just remained continuing a contract with them. A couple of them have actually brought down their own vehicles so that it doesn't disrupt us here at the school, and we can continue doing our classes and remain, you know, structured as well without that hindering on our range and everything. So it's been moving pretty quick, and no sign of it changing, hopefully, anytime in the future. If you guys have any questions on it, definitely feel free to ask away.
Mr. Lukey, did that come close to answering your questions?
So the cash flow has increased dramatically. We've also taken on some other contracts with some other grants. Currently in our savings account, we have approaching 50,000, just right under 50,000 in the savings account. Checking account always stays above water. So we're plugging away at some debt, which is almost nothing at this point. And we're leaving the 75 line of credit alone because it's the lowest interest rate. And I just took it upon myself to take the credit cards and things that are higher interest rates. And those are just about depleted, so.
All right, very good. Thank you.
And then, Jackie, with respect to the line of credit, it comes due in August. And so what are your plans? Either renew the line of credit or to pay it down or to roll it into some other vehicle?
It'll probably just renew and keep rolling to renew, and then we'll just tackle that one at a time. Increasing that down. We don't expect any decrease in enrollments. In fact, they're increasing. We just got two major programs approved with for funding for grants, and I'm in the process of writing a new grant. And as soon as people feel comfortable and the Indian reservations open, Mike will continue on pursuing the previous grant. It was a $250,000 grant that we were awarded. And then the COVID happened, so they shut down the Indian reservation, and that went to So now they have to write a new one, and currently Mike and that person will continue to write that as soon as the COVID just kind of calms down a little bit.
Okay. So let me throw this to Mr. Wallace or Mr. Lukey to chime in. So you mentioned somewhere that the line of credit paid for a bunch of equipment, some mm-hmm. expenses that you had to purchase in order to or either the ADOT or one of the other projects. And I guess I wonder if, I mean, it may be too late now, but I wonder, is there, given that your financial position is much better than it was a few years ago, is there any way to convert that into either, an equipment lease or something that, is just a little bit more beneficial? So for example, this shows up on your current liabilities, and is there some other way to move that over? And why don't you answer briefly on it, and then either Mr. Wallace or Mr. Lukey, feel free to chime in.
Okay, so we've looked at several different situations. Equipment lease lines are typically 18 to 20% interest. My interest ranges around 7.5 to 8%. So being the line of credit is not only gives me freedom as we pay it down to use the money. For instance, we just had to put in a new clutch into the trucks. It was all purchased on the line of credit, was these equipment for trucks to start up the MVD license to bring on the MVD program, which is pretty costly. You have to pay for range and striping and, the whole thing. And that's primarily what the lease line was for. If we move it into equipment lease and put it onto the trucks, the interest rate will be higher and it won't allow us the flexibility as we pay it down to reuse the funds if the truck breaks.
Okay.
I do own some property around the corner. That is currently what our range is on. And it's commercial property. Mike and I have talked about building a school location there. Currently, the range is there. If we do that, we will wrap and pay off all debt with that. I don't even know if it's called a mortgage loan, but that school loan in order to wrap the property and the building together all in one debt.
Right. Mm-hmm. Other board members?
Yeah, Paul, your idea is good, and the response is good too. So I do understand that. I think in the long run, you should be able to hopefully be able to obtain some financing that is, a little bit more reasonable in terms of interest rates and so forth. That makes a lot of sense to me. Let me understand, when we see financial statements in there, are they of the Arizona operation only? And then you talked about other campuses. Can you clarify that for me, please?
The financials that you see is both locations. It's broken down, I think on the second or third page, it's broken down per location. And the first part of the financial is both locations put together.
And the two locations are both in Arizona.
Both in Arizona?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you're thinly capitalized, and that's my concern, although what I understand is that you are reinvesting profits back into the business, so hopefully over time that will continue to improve and put more equity into the business, and I think that's critical for the long-term success of the operations.
Okay, thank you. And then somewhere I saw a note about any pending legal action. So I'll just ask, do you have any pending legal action?
No, I do not. We are solid. I'm financially solid personally. Okay. And so I have no doubt that it will be renewed in August. And I've never filed bankruptcy or anything like that. We're done.
Okay, I don't know about legal action. Okay, any questions? Mr. Lupke, Mr. Wallace? I see a no from Mr. Wallace.
Nope, none here.
I'm good.
No, I don't. For some reason, I did not see the staff proposed action. Kevin, could you please, Mr. LaMountain, could you please sure. read the staff proposed action?
Sure. Dr. Mittman and committee members, the staff proposed action is to approve the regular vocational program license renewal with a stipulation that the surety bond is maintained. And there is a question of whether, you know, based upon you, how the board feels or the committee feels about reducing the bond. The bond is currently at $30,459, but it based upon a decision that the committee makes, it could be reduced to 15. That would be up to you.
And what's the impact for the school if we reduce the bond in terms of, you know, the out-of-pocket costs for, you know, 30?
It's maybe $400. It's very small for us to, it doesn't matter if we keep it up to 30.
Okay. Okay. Well, I would...
And I have one comment or a question from Terry.
Yeah. Hi. Also, post action, continue quarterly reporting.
Correct. I'm sorry. And continue quarterly reporting, yes.
Okay. Did you say that the $400, or that's what it costs for the bond?
It's very minimum that it cost us on the bond.
Let's leave everything as is, and so I will make the motion that Mr. LaMountain just stated. And can I get a second, please?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Lupke. Okay. Rachel, you want to call the vote?
Mr. Scott Wallace, your vote?
Aye.
Mr. Dick Lupke, your vote?
Aye.
Dr. Paul Mittman, your vote?
Aye.
Nice have it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Really great work, and it's nice to see you, Jackie and Mike. Take care.
Bye, you guys.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, next up, Webster University.
Good morning. This is Ben Brink. I'm Senior Director of Military Campus Operations. I'm sitting in for our controller, Maggie Lauer. She is on vacation this week, but I can talk to any questions you may have. And I'd also like to introduce, Teresa Barnes has left the university. I'd like to introduce our new director at Luke, Gerald Young, who I saw his name on the list somewhere. So I think he's attending.
Yes, I'm here.
To say hello.
Great. Well, maybe you guys could just give us a short update on what's going on here in Arizona, because I know the last time, you know, the activities at Luke Air Force Base were significantly reduced.
Right, and we expect, we've gotten indications from the base command that we may be able to open on a limited basis for students in the summer, but almost certainly in the fall. So as I think I sat in on the last meeting, we reported we have no ground students. We do have online students administered out of Luke. So I expect we'll be beginning to ramp up. I have more to tell you at your next quarterly meeting, but I don't really expect a lot of activity until the fall.
Okay. Questions from the
board? Yes. Thank you, Mr. Brink. Could you just give us an idea of how COVID has affected your P&L? Is revenue down year over year? If so, by how much? And how are you?
Right. So I think we submitted the report to you. Do you want to refer to that, or shall I just give you a high level? Yes, revenue is down year to year as we do the planning coming out of COVID-19. We really need to look at the different units. The military unit has been closed essentially for a year, and we've seen a significant shift of students from on ground to online. It's still too early to tell whether they're going to come back on ground or whether it's a permanent shift. At our main university, enrollments are down a bit, but are within at least one decimal point, are maybe 10 to 15% down. It's not huge. We have anecdotals at this point that students registering for fall, and of course for our main university, it's a typical academic year. We don't have a very large summer term, but we do get indications that students are coming back for our remote campuses. Most of our metropolitan campuses, not on military bases, began to open last term. We're starting to see students return, but we are down year to year. We're financially sound. We have received significant allocations of funds under HEERF 1, 2, and 3, which will help us go forward. And of course, we have a strong endowment, so we have the wherewithal to weather this. And we're taking appropriate measures to cut expenses and weather the storm until we start seeing students come back.
Very good. Mr. Brink, remind me, how large is that endowment? I know we've had it in prior meetings, but
I have to look it up because I'm not.
I'm going to remember a couple of hundred million.
It's other equity, which is the endowment, shows it as 253 plus million. It's actually up a little bit from the previous quarter, partly because of the grants.
Yeah.
So it's stable. We're obviously eating off of it a bit in this process.
All right. Very good. So you are getting distributions from the endowment.
So I can't give you an exact definitive number except to say that, I can't say that because the endowment is up since last term. So I would have to say that it's likely that the grants and other contributions that have been made to us have made up the difference. And if you need details, I will ask our controller.
Just curiosity.
Yeah.
It's nice that you have a cushion standing behind you, like just a small endowment of $250 million.
It's one of the advantages of being around for over 100 years, I think, sir.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's great.
Great. Mr. Wallace, anything?
No, I'm pleased to see the strength of the balance sheet. I do see that there. Even the current ratio, which is a little bit negative, is mostly offset by or mitigated by a lot of deferred revenue. So right. I'm looking at these statements and feeling pretty good. It's interesting that your operating loss was almost made up by your investment gains too, if I read that correctly.
We've had a very good year, as I think a lot of us have had.
Yep. So I'm good.
Okay. But before I make a motion, I'll just say coincidentally, I happen to be at my daughter and son-in-law's house, and he reminded me that he received a master's degree from Webster University when he served in the Air Force. And so I am happy to make the motion to approve the regular degree granting license with the stipulation that the $55,166 surety bond be maintained in quarterly reporting and continue quarterly reporting. And having said that, I do want to say that My comment about my son-in-law is just an opportunity to talk about my kids.
I'll mention, sir, that we're proud that the new Secretary of Defense also has a master's from Webster.
I'm sorry, what's that?
The new Secretary of Defense also has a master's from Webster.
Oh, good. Okay. Can I get a second, please?
Scott Wallace, I'll second.
Okay. And do you agree to the stipulations?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Ms. Kearse, roll.
Mr. Diplicki, your vote?
Aye.
Mr. Scott Wallace?
Aye.
And Dr. Paul Mittman?
Aye.
Thank you.
You guys have it. All right, be well, be safe, everybody.
Thank you very much. We'll see you in 90 days or so.
Thank you, Doug. Okay, next up, these are for review only. We have no votes to take on. First up is American Home Inspectors Institute. Come on down, or wherever.
Hi, this is Nicole Andler. I also have a member of leadership on our call, Rebecca, and our controller is available to answer any questions on the financial reports that we submitted, and that is Rasmus. So,
good morning, everybody.
I will leave it up to you guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Nicole.
Any other opening comments other than introduction? It's fine if not.
No, I think if you guys want to delve into the report and ask questions, that'll be great.
Okay, we're on track. This could be like a George H.W. Bush meeting. Apparently, play 18 holes of golf in about 70 minutes. So let's keep the momentum going. Any questions, Mr. Wallace or Mr. Lupke?
Yeah, Dr. Mittman, one question for those on the phone would be, if you just speak a little bit about this financial health of the parent company. It's kind of hard to ignore the large losses that they're posting, and I'm wondering how that might affect the local campus.
Right. Yeah, and this is Rasmus. I'll take that one. So we are in the process of completing our 2020 audit for the parent company for Lifelong Learner, and when you receive those financials, you will see that that big loss from last year is significantly lower for 2020. 2019 included really large one-time charges as well from the recapitalization of the company as well. I think that we might have discussed on prior calls. So financially, parent company is doing really well. Of course, 2010, 2020, we did have our, as I say, share of problems with COVID-related business slowdowns. But as of Q4, company's back on track. We revenue-wise will probably end up almost the same as where we did for 2019. So even though we were expecting to grow, we were, still came out flat despite COVID. And then for 2021, we are forecasting significant revenue growth, probably up from the 280 million range to about 330. And our EBITDA will probably increase from roughly about 40 million to about 70 million in 2021. So all in all, parent company wise, we're expecting a good 2021, and hopefully 2020 is pretty much behind us.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Wallace?
Yeah, so what we have in our packet is the Arizona financial statements. Do I understand that correctly?
What do you have?
Oh, I see. Never mind. No, I see it. It's consolidated. I apologize for that. So,
no.
Okay.
The breakout, though, Mr. Wallace, on the, I think it was on the Excel spreadsheet that they would have submitted, should have been for Arizona Home Inspectors Institute, which roughly $15.7 million of revenue compared to the parent company, which was the much larger. 200 million or so.
Okay.
Good, correct.
Well, I have a question while you're looking at that, Mr. Wallace. On the Arizona P&L,
yes.
You exceeded your revenue expectations for 2020, 15.7 million, and you had projected somewhere in the 14 something million dollars. range. And yet you still, you had a larger loss than you had anticipated. You had expected a $2.6 million loss, but you had a $4.5 million loss.
Correct. So
why did you lose more money with increased revenue? And I did note that there was an increased expense in the student services / administrative line of $4 million. And if you could just shed a little light on that, that would be helpful.
Sure, sure. No, I expect that you might ask that question. And this is where, you know, in that line, there's quite a few items built into that line. So you're correct on the revenue side that obviously, you know, turned out a little bit better than expected. In that line 12 on the student services admin expenses line, there's a couple of also one-time charges that we have in there. And I'll give you a little bit of background. We are in the process of doing a first time ever standalone audit. So for 2020 for Ambition. So going forward, we will, you know, basically not have to rely on the LLH financials at that very high level. We will have lower level audited financials. As part of that, there's about a $1.6 million intercompany charge between the parent company and Ambition that we are doing between the entities for the standalone financial purposes. So not really an operational charge for Ambition, but just between the parent company, LLH, and Ambition. So that's approximately 1.6. And then we also, if you recall from past conversations, this acquisition was a carve out of a carve out. So we were on a service agreement with another company until the middle of July of 20. So we've taken that over. We've integrated our systems and we are now fully functioning, shall I say, you know, in house. And as part of that, we have also booked additional reserve on receivables. Even though we think we could collect, we've been conservative and booked another $600,000 of reserve on the receivables there. And that was mostly due to late billing due to systems integrations and so forth, where, you know, bills and stuff did not go out on time, but we were just being conservative and booked that charge there. So that's basically why that $12 million is a little bit higher than expected.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions, Mr. Wallace, Mr. Lukey?
I'm good.
I'm good as well.
Okay. Well, if you're good, then I'm good, which means you guys are can do something else with the rest of your day.
Great. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Next up, Arizona Automotive Institute. Come on down.
Hello, just confirming everyone. Can you see me, hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me introduce who we have on the call today for Arizona Automotive Institute. We have Craig Huke, Chief Financial Officer, Shannon Menzella, and Amber Powell, who are managers of regulatory operations, and myself, Lauren Morocco, the Executive Director at the Arizona Automotive Institute. Being this is my first meeting, I was hoping to take the first few minutes to share some updates from the campus for this quarter, specifically around stability and leadership and building improvements, and then open it up to any questions or topics that you have for us.
Correct.
Sounds good. Thanks. First, let me highlight two campus management changes that happened over this last quarter, including my move to the executive director role. So I started at the campus on January 4th of this year. I bring 15 years of industry experience in the automotive and proprietary school setting, with campus leadership experience at two UTI schools on the East Coast. I made the move cross country and have worked closely over the last 60 plus days, filling some key open positions on the campus, making observations and contributions to the normal day-to-day operations, including in investments in some key training aids and CapEx purchases. We also made a strategic move with our tenured and successful career services director to create an enhanced scope in a director of academics and career services responsibility. We believe the success on the campus is dependent on the relationship between the curriculum we offer and what the needs and feedback of our industry and employer partners are. We are training quality graduates that fuel the needed workforce in our local area, And so we want to have one leadership vision and oversight to create that blended and cohesive execution between these two critical parts of our business. On top of the PAC meetings where we bring our employers onto the campus, we have set the expectations that our program directors be out in the field working knee to knee with our employers so that we ensure we are delivering the best program and product to our students. The last key investment I wanted to highlight before I open it up to questions is onto the faculty or the building, the facility itself. We are in the midst of tenant improvement, renovations, and construction projects that will update our facility on site with new flooring, LED lighting in every classroom and lab space, and updated ceiling tiles for better space utilization, parking lot, roof, exterior and interior painting, and HVAC are also getting replaced or enhanced. These investments should continue to create a safe and clean working space for our team members and our students while staying up to date with efficiencies and utilities and overall operating space. So very active and strategic quarter for us for both talent and investment spend to drive the outcomes for an enhanced student experience. So thank you for letting me take those few minutes, but with that, would like to open it up for any questions on the financials that you have for us.
Great. Well, you took the words right out of my mouth. So Mr. Lukey or Mr. Wallace, any questions?
Yeah, this is Scott Wallace. On your 2020 report, there's $790,000 or something like that of other expense. Can you tell me what that is?
Yes. Craig, do you want to take this or?
Is that on the Arizona campus or are you looking at the holding company?
The statement is labeled Arizona Automotive Institute. It has revenues for the year of net revenues, maybe about $6.9 million. Does that tell you what I'm looking at?
Interestingly enough, it doesn't match the report I've got, but that's okay. Let me go to a different report. I'm sure that I can answer that.
This looks like an Excel spreadsheet that I'm looking at, but yes. whatever you have for the year ending 12/31/20 would be helpful.
Okay, so I've got for the Arizona campus revenue for the year of about $6.1 million and an operating or a profit of about $250,000. So does the bottom line match what you've got?
Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah, I think we're talking about the same thing.
Okay, all right. So I'm going to consider that progress. I had the other income at about $100,000 though, as opposed to $700,000.
Oh.
Yeah, I think. Okay. I saw the same thing, so I'm glad that Mr. Wallace asked the question because he's actually a CPA. And so whenever he pulls something out ahead of me, I like that. So I saw other income for AAI was a negative $790,000. And then other income for Ancora was $17.2 million, a negative 17.2, and I think we're both wondering, you know, what's the loss in other income.
So I'm going to apologize because Ancora did not have a loss of $17 million, and the reports that I believe we submitted, I've got a different copy. So Shannon, we can find out what that difference is.
Absolutely.
What we had, so, and I suspect what you are seeing is at the holding company level, I showed net other income of about $4.7 million. It's a combination of, that's where we put the institutional funds we got from the government related to the HERF, the funding. So that went through our income statement down below the line.
What we're looking at is if you go to the Excel spreadsheet that you submitted.
With the one showing the quarters.
Right.
Okay, got it.
the line 29, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at the AI, and then the next one would be same thing for the parent company.
Yeah, so that is, it's not, and I'd have to go back to my controller to look specifically at what that was, but it is, there are no non-operating expenses at the campus level. It was after we looked at the operating expenses that were listed in lines 14 to 22, these didn't fit there elsewhere. So I'd need to go dig up and understand specifically what those were. But looking at what we've got, they are probably related to, you know what, if I guess, I'm just going to guess wrong. So I'd rather just say we can get back to you on that and tell you specifically what those are. They are operating expenses, part of the normal operations, though.
That makes sense, then. Is that good for you, Mr. Wallace? And they can email, there could be correspondence with the staff, and then we'll get it in the next packet. I mean, they did show a profit.
Okay, thank you. I apologize for the confusion, though.
Yeah. Is that good for you, Mr. Wallace?
I'm good. I'm good to wait on that additional information.
Okay. Anything else, Mr. Lupke?
No, sir, I'm good.
Okay, good. All right. Well, I do have one last question. Is your student loan default rate is has been high. You know, it's at 26.3%. And, what steps are you guys taking to bring that in line? I'm not sure where the cutoff would be, where it becomes, a problem with the Department of Ed.
Yeah. I mean, I can take some of that, or Shannon Craig, if you want to take it. But, I know we have on ground, we're focused on early packaging on our new starts because we know, that's better for the student experience, that they know how they're going to pay for school. As far as the collections on the team, we have reports that we're following to ensure that we're following up on the collections piece of it. So that's not only happening on the campus, but also in Cora Centralized. I am fairly new to the team, so I could kind of understand better our default practices and get back to you on that. But just know that my experience, I was the director of financial aid at UTI for a majority of my 8 years of the 15. So financial aid is one of my wheelhouses that I'm a specialty at. So I will be able to offer a little bit more to that question either right after the call or definitely for our next quarterly meeting. I will make sure default is one of the topics I cover in my introduction.
Right. Well, why don't you bring that to the next meeting?
Okay. I will do that.
Lagging indicator. We'll just chalk it up that it was before your tenure started in January.
Yes. Believe me, I'm on the financial aid metrics for sure.
Okay. Great. All right. Hearing no other questions, have a great day, AAI and your parent company. And I'll see you in 3 months.
Thank you.
Pleasure to meet with you. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
All right. Next up, Arizona Heart Foundation.
Hi, Paul.
Hi. We have Paula Banahan, who I see. And I'm not sure if Sean is joining us also. Sean Kerrigan?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, good. Welcome. Do you guys want to share any opening comments, remarks?
Well, we're actually pretty excited about our future. We just signed a new lease, and we'll be moving into our new building hopefully this summer. Great time to be moving in Phoenix, but we will take it, and it will allow us to grow the number of classes that we are able to offer.
Okay. Well, I would offer to volunteer to help, but it would be a conflict of interest.
Sure.
Well, thanks. Any questions from board members?
During this COVID season, are you guys online or in person?
We are in person.
Are you? Good.
Yes, and we have not suffered an outbreak in any way, so we have been very good. in that sense.
Wow.
Still following CDC guidelines, everyone yeah. is in person.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And how large are the class sizes?
16.
Yeah.
Wow. So we've taken every inch of our current space. We no longer have a boardroom. We no longer have one of our kitchen areas. So everybody is spread out as much as they can, which is why we're keeping it to 16.
Nice. Nice. Well, congratulations on that.
Thanks.
Aldette, I'm channeling a Dick Lupke question. One second. And the question is, given the loss of about $400,000 in the previous year, what's your cash position right now? Mr. Lupke, did I do that right?
That's amazing. I'm flattered.
Our cash position is probably about $300,000 right now.
Okay.
But that's going to fluctuate. I mean, we're in between terms right now, so to speak, in the sense of we started our vascular class in January, and now we're getting ready to start the cardiac class in July. So we'll be accepting, we're interviewing right now, accepting candidates. So we'll be, you know, receiving the tuition money for that in the next couple months. So that number will definitely go up.
So I guess here's the question.
Mm-hmm.
You've gone from approximately, I don't know the exact number, about $1.9 million in cash a few years ago to this point. And so what's the long-term plan? You know, I know that you're going to save, I don't know what the current rate is. I think you were paying, you know, over $100,000 at your previous location, but what's the plan moving forward to turn that around? Because you know your burn rate is pretty high.
Well, I think it's, you know, we just started a night program as well in February, so utilizing the empty space from 2:30 in the afternoon to 9 o'clock at night, and just having 9 students start in that program is gonna, you're gonna see this quarter. Ending in March, that, you know, we're going to be in the black, and that's even without the PPP forgiveness. So okay. I think adding that additional student load is what we need, and moving into the new space and having 2 classrooms and 2 labs is going to give us the ability to grow and stabilize and start building that back up versus, you know, tapping into it every quarter after quarter.
Okay. Any thoughts about offering patient services as part of the foundation? Is that possible?
Well, actually, we are looking at that. That's part of our cardiovascular initiative, which is our screening. We offer those 5 ultrasound exams at no cost to the community, and that really will become our fundraising arm that we can actually raise money for. We're right now in front of the legislative House and Senate for a one-time $300,000 grant, which will help us to, you know, get a van that we want to be able to service the rural communities, as well as the staff that we need to provide these screenings. Again, which is why we need the additional space. It's been very well known now that we will not raise money for the school because the school has its own tuition, but we can raise money through a philanthropic service, which is complimentary screenings. So that's been initiated for about a year and a half now, but because of our space limitations, we actually impose on the school to get those screenings done. So that's why we're looking for this one-time fund so that we can actually hire other sonographers to be able to provide that service. So yes, and then at the same time, we're looking to get our 2 labs in the new building to be ICAL approved so we can actually provide clinical rotation experiences for our students without having to have the burden of clinical sites for 800 hours as they currently are.
And can you charge patients for that?
Well, I'm actually working with someone who is saying that I can do that. I don't know if that's what we want to get into, but I'm in the process of meeting with St. Vincent de Paul, who has 2 clinics, So if in effect I can have St. Vincent de Paul charge for the services, then they would simply give us a donation. I don't know if it's something that we want to get into as far as Medicare, but if we can assist other clinics to provide those services where they can bill, then they would simply have a donation for us. And I think that would keep it cleaner for a nonprofit.
Okay. This is like too much information. So Rachel, don't write this. Don't record this part. I had an abdominal ultrasound not too long ago, and I went to a school, so not a competitor, because it wasn't a vascular ultrasound. I paid $68 for an abdominal ultrasound. It was red. It was, you know, the ultimate, you know, read was from a radiologist. Or mm-hmm. Radiographer did it and all of that. I know someone who had a thyroid scan also. So it was, you know, something that I think, you know, it might be worth looking into because, you know, to offer a great service at a great price, you know, cash, not accepting, you know, not having to deal with those other things, you know, it might be a nice way to boost revenue. And I can tell you, because from Southwest College, which is also a 501c3, we are allowed to, you know, to offer services, you know, either cash or for insurance as well. And so I'll just put that out there.
Great. Thank you.
I appreciate that. That's a great idea.
I will write that down.
Ooh, okay. Well, that could help the points. Other questions?
Yeah, this is Scott Wallace. I'm looking at your balance sheet, December 2020. And you have $674,000 worth of deferred revenue. That's a lot of money. Are you confident in that number? No, that's the first question. And number two, is that representative of a spike in a positive spike, an increase in enrollments?
Yes. Yes and yes. Okay. Yes, I'm confident. I mean, I basically, that account is being used for, like I said, you know, sometimes we, for instance, the vascular class is starting in January. If we receive tuitions before the program starts, because we get the tuition in, since we don't have Title IV funding, it's either cash or loan, student loans that we get in before the class starts. So I park it there and then I bring it into revenue, you know, ratably over the next year. So, yeah, I'm confident that money's all going to come. If it's in there, it's coming into revenue within the next, you know, year.
Okay, yeah, because your revenues for your fiscal year end were 900 some odd thousand.
Right.
And this is 674, which is just a snapshot number.
Right.
And it's consistent with your conversation as it relates to, you say you took out your conference room and put students in it or whatever the heck you said you did.
Yep.
Okay. All right. I'm good.
Okay.
Well, that makes me feel good because I wrote that down also. I had deferred revenue $674,156. So good. Can I earn like an accounting certificate? Any other questions? Okay, hearing none. Congratulations on your new digs, and look forward to visiting it after you move.
So, yeah, we'll see you in the fall.
Okay. All right, bye you guys.
Thank you.
Okay, next up, Arizona School of Integrated Studies.
Good morning.
Good morning. All right. Shannon Yurkic, CEO of ASIS, on the phone with me, as well as Laura Todd, Regional Director of ASIS, and Damon Agru, which is the Corporate Controller of ASIS. Opening statement, overall study performance and production from the ASIS entities and our four campus locations throughout Arizona. Current cash position of the organization is $850,000 for strong reserves. Additionally, we're seeing a 26% enrollment increase year over year. Our three-year trailing default rates are under 15%. Additionally, all state required reporting for academics, grades, and transcripts have been uploaded as of last week to the sites. We just completed a VA audit this week that looks to keep us in good standings. We additionally also were approved and just got notification about 2 hours ago that our HERF 2 funding, obviously, which is going directly to our students, was approved for about $150K, but it does show that we are in compliance with our initial HERF 1 funding. And behind that, we also have our distance education application through COMPTA, who's our accreditor, that was approved. We currently are administering courses both at ground and a hybrid online component, obviously to mitigate COVID and reduce any type of possible exposures. We are following CDC health recommendation. We provide masks to all of our students, and we strongly encourage and mandate them to be worn on-site at our properties. And lastly, our growth plan, just to kind of move into that more third and fourth quarter, we are working and doing market evaluation and analysis in looking at adding an additional esthetician program. We obviously would go through the requirements for the state and through COMPTA, but we are evaluating that, that per our accreditation, that would be the only program we could also add to our organization per our accreditation. But it's something that we are considering and looking seriously on for movement in proposals for third and fourth quarter production that this board may hear about later this year. And with that, I'll open it back up for any questions.
Great. Well, thank you very much. My notes, I wrote net income of $250,267 on $1.5 million of revenue. And then nice in bold. So that's all I have. Mr. Wallace, Mr. Lupke?
Yeah, I have some questions. Make sure I understand. When I looked at your financial statements for December, you had $160,000 of cash, and you said your cash position now, did I understand about
$800,000? Approximately $850,000 is our current cash position with the organization.
So what happened in 3 months?
I've got Damien. He can also kind of add to it. But from a high-level standpoint, our organizations through Tremontra Education as a whole, Tremontra being the parent company, has seen strong performance in the healthcare fields, especially with the COVID restrictions that kind of impacted us last year being loosened. We've been able to not only drive our populations, but we also got the online distance education approvals that allowed us to consistently collect on our revenue, keep attendance, and then build populations, which ultimately has led to a nice impact on our bottom line through the organizations. And if Damien, you want to add anything that I missed, by all means, please feel free to jump in.
No, that pretty much sums it up. I mean, we, you know, as an organization as a whole, we have, over $800,000. ASIS's account, though, at the time, yes, is still standalone by itself, $160,000.
I see. Okay. When I look at your December statements, which is what we have, for Tucson, you have negative prepaid tuition. And it's a large amount. Can you comment on that, please?
Yeah, so prepaid tuition is really a deferred revenue. We're actually in the process of cleaning up terminology as we moving forward with our audits. And so we actually, at the request of the auditors, are making some adjustments to line up that deferred revenue by term rather than it as a whole. So moving forward, we will start to see a decreased liability on the deferred revenue side. Because it will be booked as in terms rather than the entire tuition up front. So as it stands, what you're looking at right now is a lot of deferred revenue that's still sitting there from previous enrollment.
Okay, so there's
a being recognized on a monthly increments.
Okay, so it just needs cleanup, as you've indicated.
Yeah.
Okay, and then my final question, I want to be sensitive about this, but you have a lot of current assets, and those current assets are due from, and there's some initials there. I don't know what they stand for. Are those individuals? Are those related entities? Or what's in there? Because this probably approaches $400,000 or $500,000, I think.
They are related entities, but if Shannon wants to talk a little bit more about that.
Are we speaking regarding FLSM and CMSM?
Yes.
Those were our previous campuses that we closed approximately over a year ago, all with accreditation approval, all with the Department of Ed approval, all of which that were, we went through the Department of Ed and got our closeout audit completed. But those are related to closing out campuses, and ultimately we're in the process of working to get that debt kind of released from any type of obligation. So that's why you're still seeing it, but we're maneuvering through. But those are for previous East Coast closed campus entities that were successfully closed per accreditation procedures and Department of Ed procedures.
So I sort of heard it and sort of didn't. Are those collectible items, or are you going to collect cash on them?
Yes, as of this time, we're working with counsel to determine, but to our belief, those are numbers that we would be able to collect revenue on.
Okay. Okay, are they like termination, contractual termination payments, or?
Yeah, portions are of that. Typically, I mean, Damien, I'll let you jump in, but I believe those are a combination of termination payments and obligations, both in regards to due to those organizations. Is that accurate?
To a point. It's also intercompany transactions, so it's all tied up into, intercompany loans, basically.
Intercompany loans to related entities?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That answers my question.
Okay. Mr. Lupke, any other questions?
I do not. I like what I see so far.
Great. All right. Well, great. Well, we'll see you guys in 3 months. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right. Next up, Brighton. Colin.
Good morning, board.
Good morning.
I have a statement for you. So, an update on Brighton College. So, we are in the process. Go ahead. So, we're in the process of changing ownership. LearnKey, who owns 50% of Brighton College, to acquire Paul Zagnoni's remaining 50%. That happened late last year. Paperwork is going through the Arizona Corporation Commission, and it is in process. Paul was a good partner who finally got to retire, and we are happy for him. On the phone today, we have Jeff Barricini, who is acting president.
Good morning, everybody. This is my my first meeting. I'm happy to be here, and we're excited about taking over 100% ownership of Brighton and the Paralegal Institute. Over the past year, and Sean will attest to this, we've become much more involved, myself, along with my team, focused on really driving down a lot of the expenses, which we accomplished. COVID hit us tough with Brighton College. It was really a combination of our partnerships, where we get a lot of our student referrals. We just weren't able to go out and interact with them. So things were slow there. The good news is, like I said, is it gave us some time to really kind of reduce costs. And now with 100% ownership by LearnKey, and I don't know how much you do know about LearnKey, but we've been in the education and course creation business for over 33 years, based in St. George, Utah. And so we're providing a lot more support now to the school. A lot of the processes that we have that are common, we can now use LearnKey resources to scale. So we're really, really excited about it. We're starting to beef up our investment on the people side here, which is going to help Brighton a great deal. We're building a larger business development team here in Arizona to grow our overall business. So we're excited about where the future is. And I'm glad to be a part of this going forward.
Questions?
Yes, this is Dick Lutke. I'd like to just hear a little bit about the forecast for the rest of the year financially, how you see it rolling out.
Yeah, I would say the forecast is relatively flat. We've built about 20-25% growth in there. We are starting to see more enrollments come in, especially from the LearnKey side, where we've got some joint partnerships. We have some clients that we've been servicing, like Deseret Industries and whatnot. So we're optimistic that this second half will be good, or shall I say second quarter and second half of the year. And we're also seeing some more B2B licensing agreements with our content as well.
Okay. Mr. Wallace?
So did this I'll call recapitalization, but the LearnKey acquired, did they acquire the minority interest in Brighton, or did Brighton acquire the minority interest?
LearnKey did.
Okay, so it's outside the company. They did a transaction between themselves and the minority owner at that time.
Well, no. Paul owned 50%. LearnKey owned 50%. We acquired Paul's 50% last year.
Brighton acquired Paul's 50%.
No, LearnKey did. LearnKey acquired Paul's 50% of Brighton College.
Okay, so now they have 100%?
That is correct.
Okay. Okay.
Other questions, Mr. Wallace?
Well, I'm still I understand what I was just told, and I don't have any issue with that. I'm looking at the 2020 balance sheet, and I need to get over probably to the income statement. Was there a $600,000 loss? Do I read that correctly?
Yes, there was one-time correction. That is correct.
When you say one-time correction, what does that mean?
That means that we identified a problem in the way we were recognizing revenue at Brighton College, and we had to make that correction to offset it. Okay. And this was something that I had a conversation. Sean and I reached out to Terry and Kevin about a week ago to let them know that we had that, we identified that correction that needed to be made.
Okay, so now does LearnKey, you know, since you have a negative equity, does LearnKey have the resources to continue to support Brighton?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, the LearnKey business is doing quite well. We probably had about a 30% growth in our online, we're 100% online, 30% growth last year, and this year we're up 43%. So we're having a real good year. COVID has positively impacted LearnKey. And whereas, you know, we have confidence that with the programs Brighton has, we're confident we're going to be able to turn Brighton around as well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Were you referring to the write-off of bad debt? Looked like $490,000. Is that what you were referring to?
Yes. That's correct. Yes.
All right. Good. All right. Hearing no other questions, I'm going to wish you guys well.
Thank you very much. We'll see you next 90 days.
I just want to point out that in the time that we covered 7 schools, the 41st president of the United States played 18 holes of golf. All right.
Take care.
Speaking of something that would be valuable for people who are running around playing golf or doing whatever it is that they're doing. It's nice to see Ms. Mendoza from Fletcher Pilates.
Hi. Just introduction, is that where you'd like me to start?
I don't know. I mean, we know you from, and it looks like you're having, looks like you've had a very good year. You've had a positive, your net income over $75,000. Your revenue was also up at $338,000. I know that you took advantage of some virtual classes. And so unless you want to add anything,
you've kind of seen it. We're very pleased with kind of how we were able to survive and actually end up thriving through last year in some of the retooling that we did. And actually we're excited moving into this year. We've been able to start on our usual kind of calendar that we've done with our foundational program into this year and actually have received enough interest in our program that we're considering adding an additional program to this year because of the interest that we've had coming in in the last couple of months. So that may be something that we add an additional foundational program to our schedule if we have the students that are interested enough to take advantage of that during the third quarter of this year if we can. So.
Good.
Feeling good about things.
Questions, Mr. Wallace, Mr. Luke?
And here's my favorite question. You got in the fourth quarter, year to date, I should say, $71,000 of income and other income and expenses, which you didn't have any of that in the previous three quarters. Can you explain what the $71,000 represents?
In the other income and... Are you referring to on our balance sheet or
the income statement?
Make sure I'm looking at the income statement. Okay. Yes. So a big portion of that was actually the we had been waiting to put in any of the financial support that we got from PEP loans and reimbursement for rent from state and other. Elements we had reached out to during COVID. So that actually is a huge portion of that. The other aspect of that is coming from some of our continuing education courses, which got completely suspended during the initiation start of COVID, but then we were able to pick back up with our online presence that we did, and that rolled out mostly in that fourth quarter of this year.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Luque?
I have no questions, Dr. Mittman.
Okay. So I have a question, Deborah. So for a program that historically has been like very on-ground, in-person, you made all kinds of accommodations and succeeded, so congratulations. And I just wonder... how do you foresee Fletcher Pilates changing once the pandemic subsides or ends? And what are you going to keep that you didn't have a couple of years ago?
So definitely one of the things that we found is this live virtual engagement has been much more effective than I think we ever anticipated it would be, being that we were we've always kind of thrived, like you said, on a hands-on in person. The ability to engage with students in that virtual format, along with the kind of hands-on in the studio, which we are starting to be able to reinitiate for all of the practical hours, which is important. That aspect of it's not going to go away. So that is something that we're working on getting that engagement back rolling in this. But in terms of some of our classroom presentation hours, being able to do live virtual presentations, as well as some of our time engaging with students in observing actually through a virtual process, which used to have to all be done in studio, which made it actually much more challenging. Being able to bring, an iPad into the studio and engage with students while we're maybe working with a client and keep us safe. So, from the pandemic perspective has actually been hugely beneficial to the students we've found, which we would have never anticipated. So I think there's aspects of the engagement that just make it easier for the students to engage that we will maintain some aspects of that. That being said, a lot of our students are, especially as we've started to be able to do a lot more in studio and keeping things still spaced very carefully and scheduled. Scheduling is probably our biggest thing, is managing the scheduling with all of our practical hours. Students are so excited to be back and engaging with us more in person. So I definitely see that we will, as hopefully this pandemic continues, hopefully, fingers crossed, to resolve, that we will have, that a lot of it will go back to in person. But I think we'll always maintain a little bit of this hybrid model, because it does seem to increase student engagement.
Okay. Well, great. Yeah, it's interesting. My brother, is a big Pilates, fan. And so he actually has a reformer in his house.
Thanks.
For the last year, he and his wife have been doing all these classes, online. And so I thought, you'd think that would be something that would be, only an in-person experience, but obviously you've demonstrated otherwise.
Yeah.
Well, good. All right. Well, congratulations. And see you in a few months.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. The folks from Southeastern University, and I just want to confirm, Wallace, Mr. Lukey, that you received, they sent us an update earlier today. We got it from Mr. LaMountain, and it is an update. I think it was maybe their quarterly report to a bank, but it was fairly informative. And so I just want to make sure that you guys have had a chance to read that.
Dr. Mibben, I have not reviewed that, sorry to say.
I'll tell you what, let's take a second here. Go back to the Google Docs, and it should be, I think it's the first one, and it's written new doc. And I think it lists 7 points, and it's got current financials in it. And I think it would be real helpful to have in front of us. While we're talking to the folks from Florida.
I think I have that document. It's an interoffice memorandum.
Yep.
To Center State Bank. Is that the right one?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. I have it.
Good. And then Mr. Lukey, we'll wait for you to open it as well. Good. I think...
I've got it. Thank you.
All right. I think for Southeastern... If you want, we could just look at it, because I assume this is essentially what your any opening comments would be. Nice to outline the current state of affairs at the university.
Yeah, that is correct. We are achieving our goals for the current year. And last year we had about a $3 million overall bottom line. This year we're thinking it'll be about $3.5 million. Or thereabouts overall. As far as our operation in Phoenix or in Arizona, we had about 36 students last year. We have about 34 students this year in the fall semester. So that operation continues along as planned. But yeah, our financials are achieving the goals that we had set out for a couple years ago, and we're very grateful for that.
Well, Mr. Lukey, while you're looking through the document, Mr. Wallace, do you have any questions?
Oh, boy. I'm still looking. I'm sorry.
That's okay. We already lost our challenge with the president, so you know we're ahead of schedule for everything else.
Yeah.
Dr. Mehmet, just a couple comments. I like the fact that they've lowered some of the long-term debt. Assets are up. Has more cash, even though their accounts receivable are down. I'd be curious to just hear from them when they have a chance to speak, how they're forecasting the rest of the fiscal year.
Yes, this is Jeff Spear. I'm the CFO, and hopefully you can hear me. we are expecting that the end of the year will come through with an operating surplus of around $2 million and an overall surplus of around $3.5 million. And we're totally on track for that. Keeping in mind that our year end is May 31. So we've completed February and we're substantially through March now. And most of the revenues that we're going to recognize have already been booked for this year. Obviously for the two semesters, there's some other non-traditional revenues that will come in. But we're confident that we will achieve at least a $2 million operating surplus and over $3.5 million overall for the year.
Nice.
That was my comment. Thanks for stealing it. Okay. Mr. Wallace, any questions?
No, I don't.
Okay. Good. Well, thank you very much for the update, and that was really helpful. It summarized everything. And we wish you the best. Stay safe. We'll see you in a few months.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Tech Talents out. Come on down.
Hey, everybody. How are we doing? Last one.
Yeah.
Awfully quick today. You're right.
Okay. Do you want to introduce yourself or selves and then share any opening statements?
Yes. So my name's Johnny. I've been on this call a couple times. Our finance manager got Beth Kobach with me on the call. Suzanne actually is no longer with the company, so I'm not sure if you want to strip that one from future quarterly meetings. But happy to kind of go ahead.
What was Suzanne's position?
Suzanne was the COO, and she's in an exciting new role elsewhere.
Okay, and Beth's position? Sorry.
Beth is our general counsel.
Okay, go for it.
All right, yeah, so somebody else? Anything? Okay. Fourth quarter, far and away best quarter of the year for us, both the top and bottom lines. We benefited from a lot of the larger kind of workforce development programs that we ran with different municipalities across the country. Still kept our foundational core educational business running as well. And those two kind of stack on top of each other nicely. And then also the corporate side of our business, which is made up of placing our graduates with hiring partners, is starting to pick up pace as well. So we're happy with the way that we ended the year, all things considered, with the chaos of 2020. And I'm excited for that momentum to carry on into 2021.
Great. Well, thanks a lot. Questions? Mr. Lukey, Mr. Wallace. Yes, well, they're unmuting. I'll throw out a question. So you had accounts receivable of $945,850, a little over $1 million in current assets. And is this, you know, what does this consist of?
Yeah, so fortunately, the makeup of our AR has greatly improved over the last, call it 12 to 18 months. Previously, a large portion of that would be, you know, strictly future tuition installment payments. As we've cleaned up the balance sheet, the majority of that AR balance now is tied to much larger and fewer checks from bigger partners. Some of these workforce development programs, for example. So much higher, almost guaranteed rate of collection there, which I'm thrilled about. And I think our AR maybe most up to date is probably down by about $400,000 to $600,000 relative to end of year 2020. So
you're healthy saying
on the balance sheet.
The $945,000 AR is closer to $500,000 now.
Yeah, it is probably in the sixes right now because we have, you know, it's shrunk and it's grown based on new revenue streams.
Okay. So it looked like your revenue was strong for the year, but you lost over $500,000. And so like, what's the plan to turn that around?
Yep. A large, almost, I'd probably call it a quarter of our operating expenses were non-cash items directly related to cleaning up the balance sheet with respect to some bad debts. So we do not anticipate having to kind of show something similar in 2021 as the majority of those cleanup efforts were completed by year end. There's still more to come for sure, but do not think that will eat up the income statement nearly as much this year as last. It's an ongoing process, very much on my plate, and just chipping away at it.
Okay. And then the $1.1 million in partnerships on your P&L, is that what you were talking about, the workforce development agreements?
That's right.
Okay. So that revenue is not coming from individual students. That revenue is coming from, is it corporations or municipalities or what's the
mix? It's a combination. Yeah. But not students, combination of municipalities and corporations.
Okay. So more or less, you know, close to half of the revenue you're looking at coming from those partnerships. And is that,
yep,
is that moving forward?
I anticipate that portion of our top line to decrease this year for a couple reasons. First and foremost, we were strategically trying to get more towards a higher portion of what we're calling corporate revenue, which would mean placement revenue from people coming through our programs that then go on to work for a hiring partner. That's the strategic direction we're going. And then external forces, those workforce development programs were bolstered by CARES Act funding, which although it has been extended into this year, we're just not banking on those or relying on those because we don't look at those as long-term viable revenue streams.
Okay. Thanks. Mr. Wallace, Mr. Lupke?
Yeah, with so much of your revenue coming in from these corporate entities, how are you doing on cash on hand?
We're doing quite well, very strong cash position as we enter the end of Q1, benefiting from both receipts on a lot of the AR that's shown on the report you're looking at right now, along with PPP round two, because we did show the quarter over quarter gross receipts decline. So we were eligible for that. Very, very happy with our cash position.
That's good.
Cash is still king.
Yep, I agree.
I don't have any further questions.
Okay. Well, good. Well, thank you very much, and we'll see you in a few months.
Awesome. Thank you all.
Okay. It is 11:30, and I believe we can adjourn. It was nice to see everyone here, and I didn't see you, Terry, but I heard you, and so it's nice to hear your voice.
Thank you.
And it's 11:30, hour and a half. We didn't beat George Bush, but it was pretty good.
We're close.
Buddy.
All right, thank you.
Bye. Buddy.
You will.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Have a good rest of your day.